Lake Effect brings you conversations about what's happening in Milwaukee and the people, places, and organizations that shape the community. This is Lake Effect Spotlight from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. John Austin, an economist who focuses on the Great Lakes region, recently wrote an opinion piece for The Hill about former president and Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump's appeal to Midwest voters. Austin says it comes down to economic inequalities. He joins WUWM's Chuck Quernbach to explain why Trump appeals to those who feel left behind.
There's yawning, you know, economic geographic divides. You know, parts of my state in Michigan, as Wisconsin, see communities like Flint and Saginaw and Jackson and Adrian that were once thriving manufacturing hubs that are now hollowed out. And we have to nurture together the conditions that create a new economic opportunity in those communities. And we have seen that it can be done. Obviously, every university town like Madison is thriving economically. But as you know, some of the communities in Wisconsin, as in Michigan, that have regional universities and have rebooted their economy are moving ahead. Those are places that are people are more optimistic about the future. And so we need to organize at all levels, state, federal, and local, to support kind of affirmative policy and practical solutions that support community leaders to run a strategy for how they can reestablish an economic positive directional for your community. I'm very, you know, familiar with my home state, a little bit familiar with Wisconsin. And, you know, when you see a Western Michigan that lost a lot of manufacturing jobs, but is now growing again and dynamic, you know, folks are voting very differently than in the hollowed out communities that have lost their anchor employers and haven't found a future.
Those areas that are still suffering, you're suggesting that helps Republican candidate Donald Trump make his pitch?
It's very clear. I mean, we've looked at every election since 2016. It was the communities that are in relative decline, meaning they're losing population, their communities, you know, housing stock and other things are degraded. They're losing good paying jobs. Those communities are the ones that moved from Obama voters, you know, working class whites, to support a Trump. And they've been, if your community remains in decline, whatever county you're in, if you remain in decline and you feel, residents feel that their community ain't what it should be, then those communities have, in our region, have gone Trumpier every election since 2018, 2020, 2022 in the congressional race. Whereas communities that turn an economic corner, that are growing in population, that are seeing the creation of new, more diverse jobs and industry, those folks are voting very differently. And they're voting, I would say, on the issues. You know, are you doing something for me to provide healthcare? Are you doing something for me to create an environment where we keep our young people and attract and create good new jobs?
Trump in Wisconsin has been blaming illegal immigrants, he says, taking U.S. jobs. It's a very controversial point. What do you know of the data as to how accurate that is?
It's totally wrong, meaning immigrants are a source of community repopulation and economic renewal. They create more jobs as the very entrepreneurial immigrant populations in many of our Midwestern communities are responsible disproportionately for small business creation and putting other people to work. But this really opens the window on these sort of communities, yeah, that are suffering, rural communities that are feeling left behind, residents of older factory towns that haven't seen good jobs replace the ones that were lost through, you know, tremendous economic restructuring. Those communities that are experiencing this kind of feeling of being ignored, left behind, not having, being anxious about their own kids' future, their future economically. There's two types of political messages that can be sent and are being sent to these communities. Two different kinds of populism. Say, I see you. I see why you're feeling anxious and frustrated. You are right to be, you know, ticked off about the condition of your community and the opportunities for you and your kids and your family. One is the here and in Europe and all these other countries, there's a kind of solutions-oriented populism. Think about what Tim Walz talks about you know, struggling rural communities. Thank God for the GI Bill. Thank God for survivors' benefits. We're going to deliver childcare and a healthy meal for all your kids in school. That's a solutions-oriented populism. The right-wing populists, they blame somebody else. But immigrants create economic growth, economic development, population growth in Midwest communities, which sorely need it. So if anything, we need to welcome more immigrants, and many Midwestern communities are, for economic development, straight, you know, job creation, new businesses, rehabilitate neighborhoods. We're seeing it all across the Midwest, and many community leaders get it, and they want more immigrants.
Well, John Austin, another tool for economic development, the Democrats say. President Biden has been visiting the state, Vice President Kamala Harris, Tim Walz, all touting things like the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, the Inflation Reduction Act, and the CHIPS and Science Act as making investments. What do you think of those big three laws now as to their ability to address some of these inequalities?
They're terrific, and they're exactly the recipe for success, economic success, and regeneration in these communities, but in the long term. I mean, we in this nation, unlike Germany and some other countries, which have a long tradition of sort of looking at regions within their country that are struggling economically and amassing sort of national investment in those regions and their people, we don't have much of a tradition of doing that in this country, with two exceptions: the New Deal, the TVA, the Tennessee Valley Authority under Roosevelt, which was about a whole regional economic development effort, and the Appalachian Regional Commission during the War on Poverty. Until just recently, those laws and investment bills, the CHIPS Act, the Science Act, the Infrastructure Bill, the COVID relief funding, that has been disproportionately and purposefully targeted at the heartland, at regions in our country that aren't the innovation hubs of the coast. And so, you know, rebuilding our infrastructures, which we sorely need, creating new innovation and startup ecosystems for the emerging technologies and jobs of the future in our great universities across the Midwest, that's what is beginning to happen. The problem is those things do take some time to nurture, you know, put people to work, except for some of the construction projects. But ultimately, they're going to provide a fabric of economic activity in our region that will, I think, cool the worries of people in the region about where's the future, do I have a future, is there going to be a good job for me? So ultimately, I think it will heal our politics, but it's not going to happen this year.
Can what's happening in other countries be a roadmap for the U.S., or is each situation different?
Each situation is a little different, though there's a common sort of thread. This was the year of elections, 2024, where 64 nations and half the world's populations was going to the polls. And, you know, the big question was, would democracy prevail, or would authoritarians and nationalists and right-wing populists carry the day? And it's been kind of a draw, but within all the countries that have voted, it's largely a function of this economic divide, closing the gap between the haves and have-nots and the parts of the country that are, you know, doing well versus and delivering for the, or better for the parts of the country that aren't doing well. So, for example, in India, you know, you had a authoritarian strongman in Modi trying to consolidate his power, but they checked his power through the polls because he wasn't delivering. There's a growing divide between the have and have-nots. The UK is probably the most interesting because you have, you know, 14 years of conservative governments that were just economically not delivering the goods for Britain. So what happened was, in the northern struggling, you know, manufacturing belt of England that kind of turned Brexit and turned the last elections, folks threw out the conservatives in favor of Labour, but they also, in those same regions, they voted for the right-wing nationalist anti-immigrant parties in greater numbers, because you had, so it's sort of an illustration of these two populist paths, delivering for people that aren't feeling it. One is delivering like a solution, but equally attractive to many of those same residents in struggling communities is the uber nationalist, blame immigrants, right-wing variant. But in all these countries around the world, you see, like in France, the ultra-nationalist right-wing parties getting their support from left behind rural and their Rust Belt regions of France, growing in by East Germany, just went through two elections where the kind of feeling ignored, feeling left behind East German provinces of Saxony and Thuringia went right-wing AfD, almost Nazi party nationalists. So people respond differently to versions of populism, but they're actually voting their economic, like, sort of anxieties at the polls.
So to sum up for the U.S., put the crystal ball in front of you. How does it all play out if Trump wins in November, and how does it play out if Harris wins?
Well, I think if Trump wins, you'll see a walk away from what are the real solutions. Like, you know, let's accelerate our efforts to lead the EV and coming green revolution in this country, where the businesses and jobs of the future are going to be. You'll see the abandonment of all these place-based, geographic, heartland, Midwest-focused investment tranches that the Biden administration, in a bipartisan way with Congress, made happen. So you'll basically see a rhetorical but hollow agenda that won't deliver better livelihoods for people in our part of the world. I think if Harris wins, you know, obviously there's an opportunity to continue and build on some of these innovation and economic development and infrastructure building investments and people investments in our region that ultimately will help us move from, and more of our region, move from in decline, losing population, to growing again and having communities that are thriving and vital and that are places everybody, including our kids, want to stay and live and work.
John Austin is a senior fellow with the Eisenhower Institute at Gettysburg College, as well as the Brookings Institution. He spoke with WUWM's Chuck Quernbach. You can find more interviews like this one by visiting WUWM.com/Lake Effect. And while you're there, subscribe to the Lake Effect Spotlight podcast.